Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Thought Crime Saturday, we go through the USAID spending, also our final Super Bowl predictions and takes, that and more. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Okay, everybody, welcome to this Thought Crime Thursday. Lots happening, and we are going to dive into so much of the news here. We have Jack, we have Tyler, we have Blake. And our first topic is going to be about the Super Bowl. Jack, tell us why we should cheer for the Eagles, of which I want both teams to lose miserably and for it to end in a perpetual tie. Jack.
Yeah, well, look, first of all, everyone likes to go with a winner. So if you want to back the winning team, you're going to go with the Eagles. I mean, that's the most obvious answer right there. They're the team that's going to win. Second of all, people are generally sick. And by the way, as an Eagles fan, I'm not used to having so many people on my side, but I've been getting messages. I've been having people come up to me all week or all the last 2 weeks really saying, look, man, I'm not an Eagles fan, but I want Kansas City to lose so bad that I'm backing you 100%. People are sick of the way the NFL has been bending the rules. People are sick of the way that there's clearly all this marketing going into Kansas City, the whole Kelce brothers thing that's absolutely stale, one of which, by the way, was an Eagle. I'm evil in admitting it's cringe, even though it's, possibly to my own detriment. And we don't need to talk about what happened with me and Taylor Swift last year, but it's tamped down from where it was a year ago, but the cringe unfortunately still exists. And so people, I think, are just sick of it and people are looking for a change. And so that's what you get when you go with the Eagles. You go with a group of team of people that actually fight, that actually stand up for themselves, that don't take any crap and don't care what other people say about them because they're about what they're being about. It's actually very similar to MAGA in a lot of ways. And, what can I say?
Not compare the Philadelphia Eagles to MAGA. That is, this is heresy.
Yeah, I mean,
never
I've been one
again.
Of the loudest voices
just, like,
in MAGA
throw this
from the
segment
very start.
Into the trash band.
An Eagles guy. So,
and just, shred
it's,
it.
It's, there's just it's been the, literally the exact
the Eagles
same
are such
from
an awful entity.
It's completely synonymous.
You're making
with
me want to cheer for the Chiefs
literally
now. I can't
exact
believe
same
this.
Narrative
yeah. I think
all along.
I think the problem that we're going to get here is like, so the 2017 Super Bowl where the Pats beat the Falcons, that kind of made it so that the Pats were kind of the MAGA team. Even though I know the Patriots were annoying, they won a lot. As you know, we got tired of them winning. That's what MAGA does. They win until you're tired of it. And then the thing is that the Eagles then beat them the following year. And so I'm not sure we can, if the Eagles beat the MAGA team of the NFL, I don't think we can say the Eagles are the MAGA team today. I don't think that works, Jack. I think that comparison is flawed.
There are some inside information that I have about certain players that are on the Eagles that are more MAGA than you realize. And not going to put that
expose
out.
Expose them. Expose them.
Put out. No, it's not my information to put out. It's not my story to tell. But,
this is the golden era, Jack. We have to know. This is the golden era.
No, I'm not. No, I was not given liberty to repeat that information, so I'm not going to burn my source.
That's a typical Eagles fan response.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there's so many MAGA players.
Protecting the house, wearing Eagles green, like being loyal, not stabbing his friends in the back. Actually caring about things that matter.
Wait, you're saying that a Philadelphia Eagles fan is going to not stab somebody?
No, I said not stab a friend. I didn't say I wouldn't stab you, Blake.
No, it's pretty bad because we basically got the Super Bowl from hell. That's what the label is, because I think of all 14 teams that were in the NFL playoffs, I think this had to be the matchup I wanted least, you wanted least, Charlie wanted least. Like, all of America wanted least of all, except for Jack and the handful of people he's not going to stab, and then Chiefs fans. And then they're having it in New Orleans, right, at the Super Bowl, or the Superdome. So that's...
Yes.
You know, that stadium has seen better days.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, the only winning thing we have out of the Super Bowl is they did get rid of the end racism thing in the end zone. So that's what they're placating us with. They'll still have kind of dumb-sounding lectures, but they're going with the, like, it takes all of... They're doing the generic ones that sound like they're from a Power Rangers episode in the 1990s, as opposed to the extremely, like, militant Maoist one. So... We'll count the win there, but I feel like I'm just going to be... This is a Super Bowl that will be inflicted upon me as opposed to one that I will enjoy.
So Trump is going, and it never actually occurred to me that no sitting president has actually gone to a Super Bowl before. Is that true?
Really?
Has anyone fact-checked that?
Yeah, no, it's true.
I saw that news going around, and I didn't take the time to check, but it's like, well, because you always see the president, you know, or, you know, prior to Biden, you would usually see the president doing, like, the Super Bowl day interview. So I guess in my head, I would always associate the president and the Super Bowl, but I didn't realize that no one had actually attended. Obviously, I can understand for security purposes why you might not want to do that, but it just, I don't know, it just seems like something that a president would have gone to.
Yeah, I guess. I have a friend in the football business, and she said that is 100% true. She was like one of the first people to mention that, and she had kind of broken it and had got it out there pretty early. But it's crazy because a lot of presidents have played football, and none have gone to the Super Bowl.
Richard Nixon did suggest a play to run in the Super Bowl. He did do that once. I believe it was a flanker reverse he proposed.
Teddy Roosevelt's responsible for the forward pass. He never played football. Mm-hmm. There's like all this football lore with presidents. None of them have been. I couldn't believe it.
Gerald Ford could have been a professional football player, but he decided to go become president, which is not
they,
as cool.
They offered him. He got offered to play for the Lions and the Packers, like $200 a game.
He could have been a Packers Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and he went to law school instead.
Did you know we had an NFL player ended up on the Supreme Court? Byron Whizzer White was on the Supreme Court from like the. I think late 60s through the 90s, and he was the last base Democrat on the court, I think. So he was the Democrat, but he voted against Roe v. Wade. So you know, we're relatively pro Whizzer White here. But yeah, no president at the Super Bowl. I wish he could have picked a better Super Bowl to go to, but I guess fate wasn't cooperating with us.
It's a swing state, so
it is a swing state. And the other great thing with Trump,
Louisiana
going
is not a swing state.
No. I mean
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But,
got my stuff there.
Philly.
But the other great thing about Trump going to the Super Bowl is he's apparently on he's in his tax proposal today. There is that very niche item that he wants to get rid of tax benefits enjoyed by pro sports team owners. And apparently this is just he's very angry at the left-wing sports team owners who denounced him in his first term and the way the sports leagues did all of that sort of
good. This is the right thing to do. Are you kidding me?
Now he's just exactly. It's great. And we should just have Trump issue an executive order that's like taxpayer money can't be used to build these stadiums anymore. This is totally out of control. That would be fun. I would totally support that. But that might put me in conflict with a lot of people. I don't care.
I think if they get rid of Trans Night, I think they can have their tax breaks back.
Maybe. We could issue a thing. Only the Texas Rangers are allowed to get taxpayer funding because they are the only MLB team to not do all of the Pride Month stuff. They got all this hate. They would every year for 3 or 4 years in a row, we'd get this 2-minute hates on the Texas Rangers because they would not do this Pride Night thing during the MLB season. It was deranged.
Yep.
So it's been a wild ride for Eagles fans this year. You know, you had Poso going to Eagles jail a couple of weeks ago here, right before the election. You've got Donald Trump going red. Pennsylvania going red for Trump. Kamala Harris, of course, holding her very last rally slash concert, these weird things, in Philadelphia the night before the election. I think I flew, if I remember correctly, I flew straight from that concert to Phoenix and then came on Thought Crime that night for like the very tail end of whatever we were calling it or whatever we were doing. And now a Super Bowl victory where the Eagles parade gets to march down Broad Street is really, it's just going to be the coup de grace. It's going to be the coup de grace of this entire season. And if you recall, which team won the Super Bowl right after Trump won the first time?
Was it the Philly Patriots? Special?
The Patriots? The That's Philly what I just special. Said.
It was the Philly and the Philadelphia Eagles in February 2017.
Yeah, that doesn't count. When Trump was like really president and was like governing the country, that's when the Patriots came back 31-3.
Yeah.
Or 28-3, whatever. It was the greatest comeback in history.
Let's flag this comment. So Sergeant T 1978 says, as a Cowboys fan, I will never
Charlie's
support
a history
the Eagles,
denier.
And I will never support the Chiefs. Just listen to the commentary and you will know who wins like they did in the Patriots-Falcons game. That brings up an idea that you could have if you hate this Super Bowl and wish both teams would be cursed forever. You can try. This is a contest people do every year. You try to not know who won the Super Bowl and you see how long you can do. So you don't watch the Super Bowl. You stay away from all the news websites and you see, can you avoid ever learning who wins this year's Super Bowl? I tried to do that when the Patriots played the Rams in, that must have been the 2019 season, 2018 season, and then they were playing it in spring 2019. And I didn't like that, and that was also peak the NFL being annoying and also peak the Packers not being very good that year. And so I was just like, I'm not watching, and I was flying to Europe on a plane when the Super Bowl was being played, so I thought, everything's worked out perfectly. I don't need to watch it. I'll be in Europe where they don't care. I could avoid learning who wins the Super Bowl, and by the time I'm back, it won't be on the news all the time. Let's see how long we can go. And then Apple ruined it because when I landed in Iceland, they sent me one of those forced phone nudges that told me the Patriots had won the Super Bowl. And I never saw another thing about football the entire rest of that trip. And I was extremely annoyed. I might not know to this day whether the Rams or Pats won that Super Bowl if they hadn't ruined it.
It is a shame this is not a Lions Super Bowl.
I don't think they're
Can
allowed
we appreciate
to win the
Super Bowl. How who the Lions?
Yeah. They're just, I think the NFL, I have long believed that like God himself will not allow the Minnesota Vikings to win the Super Bowl. I believed this when I was a child and I still believe it today. Like I think that if the Vikings like had a lead in a Super Bowl, it would like allow Satan to triumph on earth and God will not allow that. I believe this in my heart of hearts. And I think the Lions are a slightly lower scale version of that where they're kind of cursed by God, you know. Jacob have I loved, Detroit have I hated.
Can we appreciate, and let's play some of them. I think we have them in the cut sheet, of this new strategy of leaking your commercials ahead of time, or at least posting them ahead of time in order to try to get more traction. So there's all these new, I think Super Bowl commercials have really lost their allure and their let's just say appeal. Let's go to this one. Okay, this is the Budweiser ad. Let's watch. Let's 102.
Oh. Still too little, buddy.
Is that Dylan Mulvaney riding the Clydesdale? Jeez.
So, a horse walks into a bar, and...
And what?
That ad,
that ad cost $14 million. I can't help but feel, and I want your guys' thoughts. Just feels like a major cope post Dylan Mulvaney. I can't get behind it. I want your guys' thoughts.
So yeah, the strategy is obviously clear. The you know it's an attempt to drive things back to the you know previous iteration of when the Budweiser Clydesdales used to be seen as noble and majestic and certainly patriotic after 9/11. I remember that Super Bowl commercial. Everyone alive remembers that Super Bowl commercial right after 9/11, just a couple of months later with the Clydesdales bowing or kneeling to the skyline of New York City. But, you know, this, it's just like stock footage and then some awkward millennial comedy at the end. You know, having the Clydesdale be a comedic character is ridiculous. It totally misses the heart, totally misses the substance of what made those earlier commercials better. Wouldn't surprise me if like some H-1B who doesn't understand American culture wrote this. And yeah, I'm not really sure what they're going for other than saying, hey, look, we're not Dylan Mulvaney anymore. See, we're not Dylan Mulvaney. So you should like us again. And it's just silly. It's very silly. And, you know, even as someone who doesn't drink, that objectively, I don't find this to be a good commercial.
I just miss the old funny, just like slapstick within like 15 seconds.
Are you just full? You want 2002 America back?
I want, yeah.
Tyler, remember Budweiser?
Yeah. Budweiser.
Charlie, do you know what that is?
In Saxony?
Wait. Does Charlie know that?
I'm too young for
vaguely
it.
Vaguely remember.
The frogs.
Oh, man. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know the frogs.
Yeah, the frogs. I've like seen it on YouTube.
Yeah,
I don't think I saw it live.
Charlie, this was like a Super Bowl commercial that took over the entire country.
Yeah.
It was just so stupid funny. Like it wasn't even trying. It was 95. Wow. And it's just these frogs.
Oh, the What's Up commercial. I know what you're talking about. Well,
no, it was before What's Up.
It was before What's Up.
So
this was the Arizona Super Bowl.
The Engaged Cowboys View super chatted
that was in
us 2000. And said,
yeah.
No one on this panel 95. Is old enough to remember the Bellamy brothers. And I'll admit, I don't know who the Bellamy brothers are. That's probably really bad. But I don't know. Is that an ad? Was that an ad they did, or is that a musical? I don't freaking know.
Yeah, What's Up was like the sequel to Budweiser.
Yeah, so What's Up is what I remember.
They were so stupid, but it was so good because it was just dumb, fast.
It was just
commercials.
Dumb.
Like it wasn't long.
Which, by the way, SNL used to be like that. It was just absurdist. It was like. They're making fun of themselves more than like anything else. It's just silly. It's like these frogs who are basically drunk, like making each other laugh.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, I guess the Bellamy brothers.
I feel as
sang
if there hasn't been like a home run. There hasn't been like a home run Super Bowl commercial for like 15 years. It just shows the degradation of American culture and
home run in the Super Bowl, Charlie.
Yeah, why not? Hey, you control me on sport. I actually know. I know my sports. This is the.
I know what you mean.
Let's try this one here. This is the Bitcoin ad 104.
Didn't used to be like this. Exhausting ourselves, leaving our homes, giving up precious time, and still not able to afford nothing. Our money's broken. Broken money steals your energy, your time, your life. Thomas Jefferson tried to warn us about this. He knew that a currency that could be printed out of thin air would rob us all blind. Henry Ford proposed a new type of currency completely based off energy in 1921. He had this idea that an energy-backed currency currency would be the ultimate form of money, not just promises and paper. He believed an energy-backed currency was an honest way for people to prove the work they'd perform. Our money represents our value, our lives, our freedom, our energy. It's not right to have it constantly debased, but there is a solution out there. It's the most secure network the world has ever seen, without a single failure, ever. Completely decentralized across the globe, backed by raw energy. There's millions of people all around the globe pouring every nickel and dime they have into this network, out there working tirelessly, day and night, storing their energy into a brighter future.
Okay, that's all about Bitcoin. Blake, I mean, that's, I don't like, that's,
that was a bleak Blake, ad. Apparently it's all made by AI, which is, I guess, Brave New World. But yeah, that's bleak. They literally said there, people are pouring every nickel and dime they have into this. I liked it better when they were saying this is great because, you know, Thomas Jefferson didn't like a centralized currency. I'm not sure it's good when you say you should buy Bitcoin because maniacs, you know, are putting all of their money into Bitcoin. But
but you know, they're going for the MAGA. What's the through line here? The through line here between the Budweiser and this one is that Trump won the popular vote. And so what have we not seen in these last two ads? And, you know, they're running away from wokeness. They're trying to embrace patriotism again. They're obviously not quite doing it right. Like there's almost a double uncanny valley here because in both of these, because in the first one and in this one, it's clearly people who don't quite understand patriotism or MAGA or why people actually love America. But in this Bitcoin ad, there's a double uncanny valley because, you know, obviously the video is AI. Uncanny valley means the human's ability to distinguish something that is almost human, but not quite. And so when you see it, it just triggers this sense in you that something is completely
wrong. Felt so fake.
It's
totally fake, you know, the whole thing feels
fake. Just feels fake. The vibes are totally off.
A thought just occurred to me. So the what up ads in the early 2000s, some of the other stuff, I feel like the cultural memory of that has been very limited. Like we can remember it now that we bring it up, but you usually won't see that referenced a lot in culture. I feel like people's memories of the early 2000s do not include a lot of those like really corny aspects of American life. It's almost like the Austin Powers movies. It's amazing how huge the Austin Powers films were in the late 90s, early 2000s, and they don't exactly loom large over American life to this day.
I made a discovery about the Austin Powers movies a couple years ago.
They're not very good.
Totally by accident because my wife, right? She's, you know, Tanya's not from the US. So she, all that like 90s, early 2000s culture, she just didn't participate in because she has no memory of it. So she like had never seen a Will Ferrell movie before we started dating. She was like, oh yeah, like I kind of heard of him, but I'd never seen any of his movies. Whereas in the US, they're totally ubiquitous. We went back and we watched like all the Will Ferrell movies and we watched Austin Powers. And I got to tell you something, Austin Powers was totally played out when it was big. It's funny again, man.
Ooh.
It's actually funny again. If you sit and here's the reason why is because all of culture is so bad right now and so horrible and destitute and vacuous and bereft of any substance whatsoever. So even now, the stuff that wasn't quite, I mean, the first Austin Powers is good. I'll definitely stipulate that. But then the other two were just kind of like repeats of the same jokes. But even now you go back and it's just head and shoulders above anything else that's being put out by Hollywood or whatever streaming services. So you're like, wow, these are really good. What happened? Where did the people who made these go? So yeah, if you go back and watch them, they're actually funny again.
Ooh,
well, and that, you know, it's really funny about that. My son's a teenager now and I watch him with his friends. And for us, like culture growing up is you quoted movies constantly. Like those movies from the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s were like so quotable. They're so stupid and slapstick, but they had so many quotables. And that's like how you talk to each other was that way. And you look at kids now, they don't have anything like that.
You know, and
there's nothing to quote.
to close the loop.
Because there's nothing
on,
funny.
Though, there's nothing funny. Like the last big comedy movie that a lot of people.
Except for Trump.
I think the last big comedy movie a lot of people watched was The Hangover, and you're old. The Hangover came out closer to World War II than today, it seems. But to close the loop on it, the way that some of that early 2000s pop culture has sort of vanished, except for, oh, remember that thing? I wonder if we'll have that for the ultra woke pop culture of the Biden era. Like if we're, you know, we'll make movies in 2040 and they'll be period pieces set around now, but they won't come off right because they'll forget the fact like, oh, actually everything, where's all the pride flags everywhere?
Yeah.
Like, no, you guys don't get it. If you were living there, there was a pride flag on everything. And like that'll be the thing that we just all collectively forget. We'll remember COVID, but we'll forget, oh yeah, like we had to make a national holiday for this guy who like died of a drug overdose in Minneapolis. All of it's gonna poof. To close the loop on the Super Bowl, TJ Snyder asks, are we not yet convinced that the NFL is absolutely rigged? The players may not be in it, but the referees determine the game. What I will say is I don't think the NFL is rigged, but I think with all of the sports gambling they're going all in on, I worry we're like less than 5 years away from the mega scandal where finally there's enough money in all the new online sports betting that someone is going to rig a major event. And we'll suddenly remember, oh, wait, that's why they banned
you
all
mean
of
like
this
the
100
Astros?
Years ago. Well, the Astros cheated. They didn't rig it for the gamblers. They just rigged it because they were evil.
You mean specifically, okay, right.
Yeah. Not just players cheat, but cheating, like throwing a game. Like it's one thing to cheat to win. Throwing a game to lose for money, that is, it will be very hard for pro sports to recover from that. And I can just easily see it where this scandal happens and suddenly every state goes, oh, wait, that's why it was a bad idea. And they just reban sports gambling overnight.
I don't know that those questionable plays in the AFC championship. I don't know. I think the whole thing's rigged. I choose to be on the side that Roger Goodell is a
Bills fan or something.
We'll find out. We're going to find out Sunday night.
I think this whole thing is rigged. They need heroes. They need viewership. They need to turn people into villains. Like there's not enough.
That's a huge part of it.
Yeah, I mean, they need Patrick Mahomes to be a villain for the next 10 years.
The thing about the NFL is it's pretty hard to rig the NFL because the plays are very difficult to do. Like, the commenter above mentioned the Falcons-Pats one. How do you rig that Edelman catch where it defied the laws of physics practically? If they were going to rig any sport, they probably rigged the NBA. The NBA is one of those ones where you can just say, give the Lakers 500
The NBA is like proven to be rigged.
Pretty much. Well, I think the FBI said that referee just, he.
Yeah. They just like, they're like, yeah.
And, you know, I think one of those lib sports announcers once said that game 7 of the Lakers Kings series from 20 years ago is, it's like the video in The Ring where if you watch it, like you die. The Ring being another movie that was extremely popular that no one has heard of anymore. It's not famous anymore, but you know, the early
2000s. It is in like horror circles. You know, you hear it in like, I mean, I would say that with the shattering of shared culture. So that's also a huge aspect that took place. So when the internet took off, when smartphones took off, you have this, instead of this one shared culture where everybody watches the same movies and there's only like maybe 30 TV channels, now there's suddenly everything. So now there's an entire multiple, I think, TV networks dedicated to horror, and all they do are horror movies, and sometimes they're not even shown, you know, in theaters, but they still do really well. Of course, you have things like Angel Studios that are out there that are doing things, all those are shown in studios, but you know what I mean? So I think what's also going on with the lack of shared references is that, number one, it's because it's the Super Bowl is sort of interesting because with the new way we consume media, this is me getting McLuhan-esque, I guess. With the way we consume media now, there's only a few things that everyone in the country all consumes at the same time. And so one of those or a couple of those could be like the presidential debates. That's why the debates were so big. That's the only thing that people on different sides all watched. That's the only thing that like your normie type would tune into. The Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl is one of those as well. This is one of the only things that a huge amount of Americans are going to tune into, because otherwise people just sort of live in these little mind chambers where someone's watching, you know, conservative media or someone's watching liberal media or consuming that social media, whatever it is, and the algorithm's not feeding them anything cross sides anymore. Even X, as good as X is now, that doesn't have any of that cross promotion that we used to see, plus a lot of liberals have left. So it's interesting that during the Super Bowl ads, they try to pretend like America is still this one cohesive unit anymore when it's just not quite true. There's only one cohesion in America right now, and it's called MAGA.
Let's go to one of our partners here. It's the Rumble Cloud. Are you tired of getting a surprise when you see your cloud services bill every month? Our friends at Rumbles have done it. Rumble done it again. The new Rumble Cloud services are coming this spring. Rumble has built the cloud for the parallel economy. The disruptive Rumble Cloud pricing model will blow away the big tech clouds with big savings and more predictable budgeting. And like Rumble Video, you don't have to worry about cancellation on Rumble Cloud. Exclusively for friends of Rumble, sign up today at friends.rumble.cloud and receive 30% off the first 3 months of your cloud compute subscription, which will be available for purchase later this year. Rumble Cloud services are the essential cloud services you need for any size business to innovate and grow. Head to friends.rumble.cloud and sign up today. That is friends.rumble.cloud. Okay, Jack or Blake, walk us through USAID.
USAID, Charlie, or US gay ID? That's the question we all have to ask, because we can look through their grants. And we also have some lovely allies of ours. We have a data Republican who was helping us a lot during the election. She, I believe it's a she, right?
Yeah.
She built a big
she's
data.
Great. I met her at the inauguration.
Oh, cool, cool, cool. She's in Utah, right? Something like that.
Something like, I met her in D.C., so I'm not sure.
All right. Well, anyway, she built an awesome.
It says, yeah, on her X, it says Utah. So.
Yeah, yeah. And so she's built an entire thing. So obviously Trump is pausing the grants to everything. And we're not learning, but America is learning how important it is to the entire vast left-wing apparatus that they receive unlimited amounts of taxpayer dollars to do everything they want. Because, like, the rollback on DEI, you could sense that, okay, they didn't like that, but they could go along with it because, okay, like, DEI was actually ruining a lot of left-wing organizations because they had to hire a lot of incompetent people. If that goes away, we can hire smart people and win elections again. But cut off, pausing the money, they are losing their minds. They're going to Reddit. They're flipping out. They are vomiting blood. They're bleeding out of everywhere. they're freaking out. And one of the biggest ones, and I think this is genius by Trump, they fixated on pausing USAID. So it's weird because it looks like USAID, but they say it USAID often because I think it's United States something International Development, Agency for International Development, I think. And what this is USAID has a budget of about $40 to $50 billion, and it is the vehicle we use for all the foreign aid that American public always wants us to stop spending on. This is how you end up with, oh, the US government paid $5 million to fund lesbian poetry in Somalia or whatever. And so the Trump admin came in and said, okay, we're pausing this. And they're freaking out, where they're going to find the things that are most sympathetic, where they'll say, oh, like, we're stopping malaria and you're going to cause 4-year-olds to die in Mozambique and all of that. And all I would say is, guys, if all that stuff is that important that we do, why did you ruin it by using it as your front to fund like bizarre, like regime change in Ukraine or Cuba or Libya or wherever? And why did you use it as a front to fund all the gay stuff? If it was genuinely doing all that important stuff, you shouldn't have funneled all the money to the fake stuff, because it's going to make everyone hate it. Anyway, that's all set up to say Data Republican made this federal grant search where you can search for keywords in grants. So I have it open up right now. I searched LGBT, and just with that very brute force method, we found $1.4 billion worth of taxpayer grants specifically to things that included LGBT in it. I like this one, American Academy of Addiction Psychiatry. You really, if you read it, you probably can't read it on the screen there, but if you look through it, you can really tell how they just had to shove gay into everything to try to get money. So this is about, oh, get some money to help fight addiction. And then it's ORN, whoever's getting this, is equipped to support individuals and communities who bear end disproportionate burden from OUD and STUD, including youth and young adults, Black and Indigenous communities, LGBTQ plus people, rural communities, and individuals involved in the legal system, also known as criminals. And so, yeah, they had to throw that in there. Like, okay, we want our money to fight addiction or opioids or whatever, but guys, it's not that we're fighting addiction. It's that we're fighting addiction with the special groups of people that we care more about than normal people. And
so, Blake, so this is the Data Republican site. Can you walk us through a little bit, or at least the general idea of how this site works? So I see there's federal grant, charity graphs, principal officer searches. It's like all of the country's 990 forms, of the nonprofits forms, are dumped in here. And basically what she's done is put together, you know, it's like all the federal money. Is that the idea?
Yeah. And it's a very brute force mechanism. So, and like, I know she made charts where you could see like one organization goes to another. Yeah. I have it open here just as like a basic one where you can see this subgraph that I have open right now is showing 122,000 different grants, $246 million stuff. And it's sort of this big network where you can see it go to different places. It's imperfect. I definitely saw some people misreading it. I know one that went viral the other day was where they thought Chelsea Clinton was getting $86 million from the federal government. But if you looked at it, it was more like this organization was in a network of different organizations, and the total amount of money they got was $14,000. It was a not huge amount of money. But it's sort of like if you're an org and you get money from another org that was getting money from the government, it goes into the system. And there's something to that, because if we're funding an organization that is also donating money to another thing, money to some extent is fungible. And so there's an indirectness there. But there's also limits to it, I would say. But like I said, it's so genius that it's almost accidental genius, because the left chose to do this. They freaked out about the USAID pause, and that is the single best front that you could fight on for defending a pause of federal spending, because what is the least popular type of federal spending? International aid. People don't like the idea that we take our money and we just give it to other countries for free. And it's almost... it's sort of the joke is like Trump can win by doing absolutely nothing. He's just like, I'm going to cut funding and you guys are going to go and complain about the one
upside.
Part of it that is most popular, most effective, most going to make me look good. But the left couldn't help it, because they care more about other countries than they care about this one. And they're constantly shocked the entire rest of America doesn't feel the same way.
So here's something that I think is interesting, though. And I think we have a way we were talking about maybe setting this up. There's like a keyword search that she set up on here in the federal grants. And so I was thinking, guys, what if we live on the show tonight, just go to the keyword search and come up with, just pull words at random and see if the federal government.
Yeah, I have it. That's why how I had the LGBT thing. I just put in black. We got $2.7 billion. Throw more at me. This could be fun.
Floyd.
Ooh, Floyd. Let's see. So we definitely have grants. Let's see what context they are used in. It looks like we're getting like county names.
I'm seeing a lot of like Floyd County.
Yeah, Floyd County, Indiana. Rome, Floyd County. Okay, so probably a lot of noise.
Okay, so
this
is really comprehensive.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like I said, it's a very blunt force instrument. But
yeah, you've really got to drill in. Okay.
Oh, hold on. Michigan State University, $2.6 million grant, something COVID pandemic.
George Floyd incident.
Legitimate, the George Floyd incident. The
Let's
need
go.
For officers to have new
Let's
skills.
Go.
Got it. City of Minneapolis, $2.5 million. The Minneapolis Police Department faces a critical staffing shortage following the aftermath of George Floyd's murder. Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
We got him.
Oh, wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
First try right there.
Well, it was like the second.
So here's a dumb question I have, and I want to keep going through this. The president then, therefore, has the ability to cancel this funding and then give funding to, like, red cities, right? Give funding to, you know, red institutions. Is that correct? I just want to make sure I'm understanding, like, He could theoretically
I don't know where these red cities are that you're talking about.
It's all going to be
Lubbock, Texas. How about border towns that are cooperating with what the president is doing? Bundle some of this together and give these border towns, you know, $50 million that want to hire more police and more sheriffs. And I don't know. Explain this to me.
Well,
these are still active. And can I read this one real quick? It's $19 million from HHS, from the NIH to the Regents of University of Minnesota. And it just starts. And actually, Blake, you'll get what I'm saying about this. It says that disparities in chronic disease, including cardiovascular disease related to hypertension and obesity. In Minnesota, where the murder of Mr. George Floyd at the hands of police instigated a local, national, and global reckoning on racism. It's like, so remember, guys, the irony here is that the original medical examiner's report in Hennepin County said that George Floyd died of a heart attack, and they gave $19 million to the University of Minnesota to look up heart disease in the name of George Floyd. It's right there in your face. They're just throwing it in your face, folks.
Yeah, we have a $2.5 million grant to John Hopkins, which also has the word reckoning in its. Let's see how they used it. There's a science version. No shade on Johns Hopkins. No, but for Charlie's question about the funding, so it's going to be something we'll have to litigate in the courts. And we said that right away when all the executive orders were coming out. A lot of this is be maximally aggressive on day one, because this is going to end up in the courts for years on end. And it's way better to start day one than to start on day 1,000.
We do have a question in the chat. By the way, this data set is all federal grants. So it's not just USAID. It's actually all federal grants. And then you have to go to where was it awarded by. So that's why the one I just read was National Institute of Health, DOJ Justice Programs, CDC. I mean, it could be anything. It could be just literally anything.
I mean, if you look on here too, I mean, I just searched migrants. Just go through the term.
There you go, migrants.
Go through the term migrants. There's literally insane amounts of money that the United Nations World Food Program and yeah, $44 million to provide emergency food assistance to Venezuelan migrants in mm-hmm. Colombia.
Wait, here's one. DAI.
So we're literally
Global.
Giving
that,
money to the.
Isn't that the Bill Gates thing?
I mean, it's insane stuff. If you go through here, I mean, this is over $2 billion worth of stuff that is relevant to migrants, and almost all of it's bad. I mean, Oregon Department of Education. $22 million for migrant education. I mean, you just go through this.
If you just look up the word migrants, so it actually gives you, if you let it finish its query, it'll give you the total. So total taxpayer money spent that has the word migrants in it, $410,994,302.52. So almost $500 million.
Yeah, I have an even higher amount here that's showing $2 billion. I've got on here.
Are you under federal grant search?
Yeah, federal grant.
I just plugged in undocumented and I got $913 million. And
oh my god,
a lot of it.
So Charlie's right. So like I'm looking at this right now. Why are we taking? I mean, I think, and when we say why, I mean, this is obviously what hopefully we can do. And I don't think anyone's answered this question yet. End the funding that's going to WHO and all these other different things that are helping United Nations World Food Program, for example, and say, why can't we give a border town this exact grant? We can say, oh, great, we're actually taking this $44 million that was given to United Nations for Venezuelan migrants in Colombia, and we're going to give it to, and Charlie's exactly right, we're going to give it to
El Salvador. Yeah.
So the question...
We're going to give it to build the wall and staff of the wall in El Paso and along the border in Cochise County.
What's going to matter for these sorts of grants is Congress does, under the Constitution, have the power of the purse. And what I think we'll have to dig into,
they don't underwrite every one of these, though.
They don't. So we'll have to figure out what are things that Congress said this money has to go to X, and how much of it is we gave a block grant of $20 billion for this agency to dole out for these goals. And then the Trump administration can say, well, we think the goals are best served by this rather than this.
Well, you guys might know the answer to this question. I think what happens is that the apportionments that are made when they actually go through and they pass the bills to fund things, it's pretty generic. And then so the executive branch may have some real opportunity here to say, oh, we can redirect these funds to do something else. So I think that's the question is, you know, for example, I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I think my understanding is that Congress passes X amount of dollars to go towards, federal grants to higher education. But it's not stipulated how those grants are actually through the NIH and everything else, right? So that the stipulations that can be changed, right? Changes at the NIH at a different level, that changes who gets the grants. And who's to say that, you know, again, you couldn't put those towards more blue collar, more protected. I mean, a lot of these things are not relevant to education, but they're funded through those mechanisms. So
yeah, it truly is.
That would be a good project, Blake, to talk to Data Republican to reverse engineer the rider that triggered all of this. And again, isn't USAID supposed to be international aid? Like it literally says the United States for International Development. It's in the title. Mm-hmm. So it's just shocking to me how much goes here domestically. Shocking. It's amazing.
Well, keep in mind, the Data Republican one is lots of grants, not just USAID. So we have the mix of USAID is the one that's getting all of the attention because the left is freaking out so much about it. But it's creating a greater focus on where we send grants in general, which is practically unlimited. I saw a viral Twitter thread the other day where it was like the amount of money that can just bankroll the most ridiculous things like urban dance, but it's like a woke version of urban dance, and they'll just throw $100,000 over to that.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's enough. And
urban, yeah. I'm just gonna look up the word urban.
You'll get a lot of other spin-off stuff. Let's see,
fancy good stuff here. Yeah, I wish there were. I do wish there were some ways to filter it a little bit more. So, like what Charlie's saying, filter it. You know, so $3.8 billion is what came up with Urban. But, you know, filter that down so you could go by agency. So I'm just going to go, you know, under this certain agency is what, you know?
Okay. I found it. It was a Lomez, who we had on the show the other day. He put in dance and he found a page that says it's providing. Basically, we gave like a six-figure amount to provide community-based mutual aid support, healing circles on intergenerational gender violence, culturally specific counseling services for African American victims in the form of healing and sister circles, quilting, storytelling, theater, song, and African dance. And amazing. They received, that was a grant for $575,000 to Black Women's Blueprint Incorporated, awarded by the Department of Justice.
Makes me so happy.
Yeah, and then the response to it from this guy, John Pontius. I am involved in the LA modern dance world, and I consistently wonder how loony boomer women can afford to have huge studios, paid annual festivals, and ubiquitous poor quality choreography.
Yeah, because it's all taxpayer funded.
The most obvious NGOs that need to start getting money, if we can't defund it, is friendly churches. Mm-hmm. Is local community churches that are there with us that see the world the way we do and saying, okay, you want to go do migrant resettlement? Okay, we're going to go create a consortium of Arizona churches. And instead of Catholic Charities getting $75 million, we're going to defund that. And we're going to go send it to say, hey, these churches can provide flights and resettlement activity for all of the illegals that have come in Arizona. The point is that there's a lot of organizations out there that would benefit from this type of capital. Again, I'm not a fan of government funding, but if you have to spend the money, you might as well put it in the right direction. So, all right, let's go to asteroid here. Blake, are we all going to die from an asteroid?
Not all of us. So the asteroid in question, let me get the exact name of that asteroid, if they even have a name, because they always give them.
Hillary.
We'll call it Hillary's Big Rock. And so what it is they have telescopes and such, and they're tracking. There's millions of big rocks that are floating in our solar system. Most of it's way out beyond Pluto, and they're constantly orbiting the sun. And occasionally they come in, they hit Earth. And so they track the big ones. And we have never had in our lifetimes like a very large asteroid hit the Earth where, you know, it causes a nuclear weapon level blast. The last time it happened is something called the Tunguska event. It happened about 120 years ago in Russia, and it blew up an area about twice the size of New York City. Anyway, there is an asteroid.
Isn't there also some evidence that dates back to Sodom and Gomorrah that says something similar took out a city right off of the Dead Sea?
It's possible. It would be very similar to what happened in the Tunguska event, but. Anyway, there is a near-Earth object, as they call it, which they've been monitoring it, and I believe it's being the NASA Center for Near-Earth Object Studies. They've observed a rock. It recently passed near the Earth, and then it's going to pass near the Earth again in 2028, and then 2032 is where they're speculating that it has a chance, they calculated, of 2.3% to hit the Earth, and that's already up from 1.3%. as calculated by the European Space Agency a month ago. So the odds have doubled in a month. If this, based on the size, if this rock hit the Earth, they believe it would have a blast equal to about a 10 megaton nuclear weapon. So that's where, okay, if it hit a forest wilderness, very big, pretty explosion, but not a huge deal. But if it hit a city, it's like nuking a city. And if it hit an ocean, which is actually, you know, pretty good odds it does that, it would cause a big tsunami and could kill thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people even, just from the tsunami afterwards. And we're showing all the B-roll from a big rock that would, you know, if it hit off the eastern seaboard, for example. So the most important question we have to ask about this, and we've got 8 years really to consider, 7-8 years to consider our answer to this is, what should the theme song be for the space mission to blow up this asteroid? Because in Armageddon, it was that Aerosmith song. And Trump will, it'll have to be something that Trump can use, or, you know, President Vance or whoever it would be. But actually, our best shot of blowing it up might be in 2028, because you want to hit it. You can try to blow up the whole thing, but if you just want to nudge it out of the way, if you can hit it with a big rocket or a, you know, a missile of some kind and move it just a couple centimeters on its trajectory, over the course of 4 years of spinning through space, that thing is thousands of miles off from where it was going to be otherwise. And that could be how you make it miss the Earth. And 2028, of course, Trump will still be president. Trump could oversee the mission to save humanity from Hillary's big rock. But we need a theme song.
I just think from a political standpoint, regardless of this, when in 2028 is it supposed to be near us, Blake? That we should just time this up with the Olympics, and instead of an opening ceremony, we should have the world live stream SpaceX/NASA like put the asteroid off course, and then Donald Trump just says, "I just saved the world," and the opening ceremony is boom, begin. It's right there. It's just boom, asteroid off of its path. Opening ceremony, the entire world is watching. Instead of this whole, you know, Chinese thing where they're banging drums or no. The opening ceremony is, as you're doing it, you time it up, you make the asteroid go off.
Yeah, it's cool. Not
save the world, whole world,
like,
is watching.
It's actually like Rubio and Monica Crowley that deal with that, because it goes kind of through state. So okay. we'll have to get, no, we'll but, get them. Who flies the ship though? Is it Barron? I vote that Barron fly the ship.
It might be,
he needs something to do.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the odds, by the way. So it looks like they just detected this last month. I assume that's because it was pretty close by, so we can see it. and then it's coming back in 2028. And then the estimated impact date, if it continues all the way around and were to hit us, is December 22nd, 2032. So we seem pretty close to exact four-year cycles. So it could be coming close to the Earth right around the 2028 election.
I'm telling you, if you want to win, if you want to win Pennsylvania and J.D. Vance's VP, have him like in a war room, in the Situation Room, monitoring, altering an asteroid that was going to like destroy the planet.
Yeah, no, we should do it the way
that's the power of the incumbency. I'm just being honest.
We should do it the way that they did it in World War II, where you can go sign whatever like rocket that we send. So everybody gets to like paint on the rocket that we send to shoot the asteroid. Knock
it off trajectory. What would we name the rocket? Like
everybody gets to like marker it. Like with a with
the ball
like a,
buster, obviously
the ball buster. Ooh, that's a good one. But we haven't gotten around to the theme song. We need to pick a good theme song because, of course, in Armageddon, it was that Aerosmith song, "Don't Want to Miss a
Thing." Aerosmith, yeah,
which is it's everywhere. I don't mind that song. I don't mind that movie. I think it was pretty good.
I mean,
I like that movie.
It's a stupid movie.
We just talked about
Ben
Affleck
then the Aerosmith
movies.
Guy's daughter is the girl in the movie.
Liv Tyler. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, she's Steve Tyler. Yeah.
It was Liv Tyler and Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
And we talked about in the chat that, you know.
But in the movie, her dad's Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is true. Yeah. You know, we could put Bruce Willis is still around. We could put him on the rocket.
We could put Bruce Willis on it.
He's not. Like he's not doing.
I don't think
right
he's.
Now.
I don't think he's doing. I don't think.
But maybe that would be work because in Armageddon it was a suicide mission. So
yeah. So you could just if you just need someone there to like hold the joystick forward.
That's dark. I apologize. But no, theme song. I'm thinking. I think it'd work well. You need a nice, good, like upbeat song. I think I would use. This is gonna sound silly. I would use "Cherry Bomb" by the Runaways. You know, like.
That's not bad.
Cherry Bomb, and then like blows up. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I can't really.
Let's play the Top Gun. Let's just play the Top Gun music. Let's just play. So you have to say no as you listen to it.
Top Gun.
I mean, come on. That's pretty good. If you throw back.
This would be good launch music, like when you're launching a rocket.
Just imagine the Olympic opening ceremony.
It's taking off.
The whole world is watching, and you're live streaming the American vessel go right up to an asteroid and blast a nuclear bomb on it. And Trump is just up there with his hands like this, like Tony Stark.
Well, Blake, how long would it take? Boom, America is back. And, you know, how long would it take? Like several days.
It would depend on how close it is. I feel like you'd probably launch it a while in advance. I bet what you'd do is you'd maybe have a simulation of us getting closer. And then it hits it, it blows up, and then you need some sort of like firework where it's like, you know, it'll be far away, but we'll just pretend we'll do some sort of drone firework display to make it look like it's closer. And then you have a flame descend from this explosion onto the Olympic torch in Los Angeles, and
exactly.
That's what lights
now
the
we're
Olympic
talking.
Torch.
Although yes, there needs to be another
this,
song.
This is how we are back.
We can fake this whole thing
be,
like they
no,
moved.
No, see, it's got to be just like Armageddon. And so there's another song that we need to play right as the missile is hitting. Play it, guys. Play it. I came in like a
Is this a Miley Cyrus song?
Yeah.
Miley
I hope
Cyrus.
The asteroid
can we put
hits.
Her on the rocket if it's a one-way?
It's got to be cringe and annoying, just like an
her
asteroid.
Joy Reid.
What's that?
Her or Joy Reid. Just
like call.
Ooh, her and Joy Reid. Ooh, yeah.
Just stick her right on the rocket.
Now we're getting, it's like that Simpsons episode where it was one of the Halloween Simpsons episodes where like the world is ending, so they have a rocket to escape.
Yeah.
And Homer and Bart get on the rocket, and then they realize they're looking around who's on the rocket. They're like, Rosie O'Donnell, Al Sharpton, all these other, and they realize they got on
the
wrong rocket, and
it's
the one that's going straight into the sun. And Lisa got to go on the other rocket with the actual good
all
people.
All the smart people. Yeah.
Back when Simpsons used to be based,
still going, man.
Yeah, I.
So we are in full agreement there.
I think if the asteroid is that close. We just fake it like the moon landing, do the whole thing, whole production quality, everything else. We have like a really great actor of like the person like Billy Bob Thornton or something that's like the person that like...
Oh, he was the government guy.
The government guy in there, but he made that movie slightly less good.
Yeah, I'm looking now at what the audience is suggesting. Someone suggested For Those About to Rock by AC/DC. That's okay, but AC/DC's, they're an Australian band. I feel like we do need to...
touring this summer.
Are they really? I didn't know that.
I'm going. I'm definitely going.
Now I saw... Oh, yeah, they tour right now? I saw them a year ago when they like came out of retirement. It was pretty good.
Was that with Brian Johnson, or is that when Axl Rose was still singing?
It was Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson.
Axl Rose.
Axl Rose was also there with Guns N' Roses, and his voice is very shot, but it was still awesome.
Yeah, he's totally shot.
Who else? We have someone suggested We Will Rock You by Queen. Again, they're a British band. I'm not sure that would go with our maximally MAGA asteroid explosion mission, but we do.
That's right. And the only properly American song is by Miley Cyrus, because you don't get more American than that.
Also, now that's another one saying America. Thunderstruck. Our audience loves AC/DC,
again,
which is understandable, but
no, AC/DC rocks.
That's a legitimately
probably
great song, for the record.
Oh, it is
probably the
that's
only good thing to come out of Australia ever.
What about Crocodile Dundee?
AC/DC. Yeah, I mean, it didn't really last, did it? It's just like we were talking about those movies earlier. I mean, it was nice, but it kind of went away.
Yeah, but that's a lot of things in Western civilization.
You know, like Steve Irwin.
Yeah, he was cool. He was great. He thought it wouldn't swim backwards, but it did, unfortunately.
Didn't quite last.
You don't have to be old to be... Whoa, that's a deep cut. A guy's suggesting a Judas Priest song from... Man, I think that's from British Steel. Again, British band.
British.
Screaming for Vengeance. You guys really love all your British bands, which I like them too, but this has got to be maximally American
Judas
mission.
Last year.
I basically saw one concert that was all the bands I liked a year ago. So it was AC/DC, Guns N' Roses, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, and for some reason Tool was there. My friend was really excited. It was at Coachella, not actual Coachella, but the same place they hold it in SoCal.
Oh, wow.
It was me and then like a zillion boomers.
That's awesome. I saw this one concert. It was Dio, Motorhead, and then Iron Maiden at the end. So it was, I don't know, one of those Lords of Rock tours.
Bandit One.
Like, and now like two-thirds of those are now dead.
Bandit One suggests Right Now by Van Halen. That is an American band. But Right Now, the lyrics have, like, there's no tomorrow. And that's the opposite of what we're doing. We are saving tomorrow. We are winning tomorrow by blowing up the death asteroid for America. Also, that is from the... Sammy Hagar era of Van Halen, which is not as cool as the David Lee Roth era of Van Halen. Panama, that would be a cool song. It doesn't really have anything to do with blowing up the rock, but it is a cool song. I like our...
Well, no, that Panama is the song that we...
All right,
play
final. Let's
Panama
do
now.
No, I was going to do final Super Bowl predictions as we end. We'll go to Jack first. Actually, we'll go to Jack last because it'll be the most insufferable. Tyler, Super Bowl commercial. Okay, prediction.
Man, I'm actually pulling for a really close game, high score game that the Eagles win on not because the Eagles won it on their own, but because the Chiefs blew a play.
Roger Goodell.
Something like, remember that that Auburn Alabama game where they like kicked the ball and they ran it back and
kick six at the end.
I want to see something like that. A nice long maybe overtime Super Bowl where something crazy happens and they win. That would be... I would like that.
I want to see Travis Kelce fumble the ball with like 15 seconds remaining and the Eagles enter the game winning field goal.
Yes.
That Let's would go. Be phenomenal.
And that would be great. And a Pfizer
and
commercial
see,
goes I'll, on while they review
I
the play.
See, exactly. And I want to see Saquon Barkley. I want to see Saquon Barkley score like 6 touchdowns because I think he's awesome. I think he's great.
Yeah,
he's a believer. He's super based. He's great. I want to see Saquon Barkley score every touchdown. And I like Mahomes. It's just, I don't know. It's too much. Blake, what's going to happen?
What's going to happen is it's going to be the Eagles will jump out to a lead, and they'll be clinging to it in the fourth quarter. It's going to be, they'll be up maybe, we'll say 31-28, final moments of the game. The Chiefs get a controversial penalty, like one of those fake out, you know, where Mahomes does that annoying twinkle toe step thing that gets him hit late and they get a 15-yard penalty. They use those penalties to get down to the 1-yard line. And then they're lining up to do their version of the tush push to flex on the Eagles to score on the last play of the game. And then out of nowhere, they were wrong about that rock. It's actually hitting America right now. It comes down and it hits the Superdome, explodes, destroys the city. And then Charlie's Top Gun music starts playing and America is happy. That's what's going to happen.
So, Jack, let me ask you. We know who you want to win, what you think is going to win. Will Philly burn more if Philly wins or loses?
You know, it's you know, I think if Philly loses, depending on the loss, it would be kind of, if it was like a fair fight, it wouldn't be that big of a response. Look, there's always the rough stuff that goes on when Eagles win. And, you know, it's kind of sad because I remember watching this video. There's always this thing where people, you know, kids go and climb the poles on like the street poles on Broad Street when they win, or if they, you know, the Phillies won the World Series or something. And there was a kid who went to Temple, so my school, and there was this viral video of this kid falling off of one of the like these street poles, you know, after the NFC victory the other day, like 2 weeks ago. And then it later came out that the kid died. And 18 years old and, you know, screwing around after an Eagles game. And it's, I don't know, it just made me feel kind of weird watching those videos going through. And like, I posted that video and I didn't realize that it was a kid dying. So guys, don't do that. Be smart. You know, support your team. You know, I'm a Birds fan my whole life, but, you know, be smart. It's not worth losing everything over. So go Birds. But yeah, be smart. Make good choices.
All right, let's see what happens, no matter what America loses with this Super Bowl.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.